And submit your back-to-school list when you're at Great Clips for a chance to become one of their daily winners. Great Clips, doing great things in Northeast Ohio.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland Browns proudly support the United Way of Greater Cleveland as they mobilize our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. Now we're going to go down to the podium. Browns head coach Mike Patton with his post-practice presser.
This next game coming up.
Yeah, I think it's a big night for him. See who can step up and make some plays. I talked about yesterday that NFL is all about being productive, making plays. So it'll be the third game is typically one where it's game planned a little bit, and it's about as close to the regular season as you're going to see. So I think we're all looking forward to those guys going out there and competing.
That was the one position that you said at the beginning of the camp that was probably more wide open than most. Are you concerned? It seems like there's a lot of drops, at least out here in practice.
There's been some. And that's something that our guys are working on. And we're settled in with Miles. Has had a solid camp for us. We've monitored his reps to make sure that he's ready to go for the regular season. Hawk's another guy that we feel real comfortable with, and then after that, I see it as really really wide open. Burleson's been struggling with the injury, and then you got some young guys that have stepped up. Taylor Gabriel, I think, has had a really good camp for us. Is really going to make a difficult decision for us. I think he's been solid. I think Travis has really done a good job working his way back in. You can see he's really starting to trust the knee again, and I think he'll be more than functional offensively for us in addition to the return duties. And then there's good competition for those for some of those other spots.
Do you have an idea when Nate's going to be back?
I don't. It's almost safe to list him as day to day.
It's not a big deal, but when you see, considering the rule change, and you see a guy out here practicing dunks over the goalposts in position drills, does that bother you?
No, it's like if it doesn't show up in the game, I'm fine with that. Ben Tate did a finger roll the other day over the goalpost, and I grabbed him and just said, "Hey, just so you know, that's not legal anymore." And he was, you know, some guys hear, but they don't listen. So it's he was surprised to hear that. So I think we have to. You know, that'll be part of ours. We get closer to the start of the regular season, just a review of everything, review of the rule changes, make sure that everybody's going to be that everybody that's going to be out there is well aware of things.
So it's not like a team rule. Don't even do it.
No, I didn't. I didn't notice it. But it's, I mean, if guys are just doing it, messing around, I don't have a problem with it, as long as they don't feel they can truly do it in a game.
Hey Mike, we haven't talked to Josh now for a couple of months, and I know we've been down this road a couple of times with you on this. In your conversations with him, can you just share with us maybe where he's at mentally through this whole process and just the weight of all this and his future hanging on the line?
I think it's human nature. It's definitely weighing on him. And he's like all of us, wants to know and wants to get on with it and move forward, just kind of being in limbo for so long. I think it can be draining. And then I think he made the comment the other day that the football field is where he feels like most at home. And it's important to him. So he responded, and we discussed what happened in the game, and he's responded and has had some good practices for us. But I just think, like all of us, it's only natural that he's frustrated.
Did he say that it was suspension and what he's going through that caused him to sort of look out of it during the game, perhaps?
No, I'm not. That didn't come up in the conversation. I wasn't going to look for. I mean, the reasons why he didn't open up about it. So
it looked like Cameron was their target on a couple of those throws and didn't get there. You talked about guys running the routes at the wrong angles or depths. Is there still an adjustment period for him because he didn't play that first game?
Yeah, that's probably fair. It was his first real action out there, and he was upset afterwards. He knows he didn't play his best game, and I'm looking forward to seeing a much better Jordan Cameron out there.
And when we talk about the uncertainty receiver, how important that is, for him to have the same production he had last year to kind of take some pressure off?
It is, because I think we can get creative when you have a tight end with that type of skill set that can you can split him out as the single wide receiver, or you could put him in an unconventional tight end position to take advantage of. It might not necessarily be a speed mismatch, but it could be a body type, jumping ability type mismatch. So that's something that he brings to us, and we'll look to take advantage of.
Is there anything you've learned about him that you didn't know just from watching film since you've been in here and gotten to know him?
Who's that?
Jordan.
That he really enjoys football. It's important to him. I mean, we knew he was a good player just purely from on the tape, but I mean, he's a good player, and he's an even better person. And he truly cares. He is passionate about football.
You've talked about the running game being the foundation for the offense, and yet you've had to use reps in the games for this quarterback thing. I mean, if you extrapolate what you've seen in the running game, is it going to be the foundation as you like right now?
Yeah, I think everything will be game plan specific. If we're getting looks where it's calling for the ball to get thrown outside, then we'll take advantage of it. But we always want to have the ability to run the football. I've said that from day one. I think that's critical, regardless of the weather. If you have a lead at the end of the game, you got to be able to take time off the clock, and the best way to do that is running the football. So it's something that we want to be a cornerstone of what we do. But at the same time, it's not going to be the focal point. That'll be the only thing, but it has to be there. And I think that comes with having a good offensive line, that you can do both, that you can run the football, and you can protect the quarterback.
All right, the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, addressing the media just a short while ago, and we gave a good listen to that. Lots of questions about the functioning of the offense. I thought one thing he brought up that we didn't really get into in much depth, but I'm glad he mentioned it. Jordan Cameron did not have a good showing Monday night. I mean, again, he had a lot of company on offense, Nathan. And my initial thought was the quarterbacks weren't helping him with their ball placement, Hoyer or Manziel, on routes that he was involved in and catches weren't made. But the more I looked at it, I just saw a general sloppiness to how he was running those routes. And I don't have the specific plays like his where he's supposed to run exactly and when he's supposed to make his cut. But it looked something was off kilter. I thought Mike Pettine confirmed, because those were the kinds of comments you made after consultation with your offensive coaches watching the tape, that he was culpable for some of those bad plays.
Yeah, he did not have his best game out there, and I think he was knocking the rust off. Jordan Cameron is a big season for him, coming off the Pro Bowl year, and you know this is an offense that is very tight end friendly. He's potentially a free agent at the end of the year. I know that the Browns would certainly like to lock him up before this season. I don't know if that's going to happen. But this is a big season for Jordan Cameron. He's got a lot to prove. He's really only played 1 year in the NFL. I mean, I know he's been in the league for three, but he's really only been an impact player for 1 year, and that was last year, and he was very, very good. But he needs to continue to build on that. He was a star earlier in camp, got the shoulder injury, and, you just want to see him knock the rust off. I think it'll be good to see him play against this St. Louis team that's got some good linebackers. Obviously, James Laurinaitis is there, but I want to see him step back up, because he's going to – if Josh Gordon's not here – he's really going to have to be the de facto number one receiver for this team.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's a money year for him, a contract year. So build upon what you did last year. I don't think 2013 was an aberration. I think he is talented enough to be regarded as one of the better tight ends in the game. But he thrives so much from Josh Gordon. And if you go back, and as I've done this, and I know you've done it too, and start looking over games from 2013, you can see how coverages are drifting away, were pulled away from him, understandably, by Gordon, how much opportunity he had to catch the ball, especially underneath, especially in the routes that teams will give up to you. So it helped pad the total to get up to 81. And again, he made a legit touch, big-time play for the winning touchdown against Minnesota. He made other legit plays in games. But in terms of just sheer production, it's incumbent upon him now to do the things that you're not expected to do. Right? Do the things when the coverage is tighter and make those special plays. That's what separates the special players.
Well, well, now he's going to be game planned for every single game right out there, and he's going to have to prove that he's added that versatility, the ability to sit down versus some zones. There was the play where Johnny threw it behind him where I don't know because I don't know what the play call was, right, but I don't know if it looked like Johnny expected him to sit down once he cleared into the yes hole in the zone,
and he
kept going, so the throw ended up looking very errant behind it. But I don't know if that was just a bad throw or if that was a miscommunication, et cetera. But, yeah, Jordan Cameron's going to need to step up, and I believe that he will. I think he's in line for a very good season. This offense has a history of feeding the ball to its tight ends, and I think Jordan Cameron, coming off of his 80-catch, 917-yard season a year ago, is in line for a strong season, and the Browns are certainly going to need that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think he has the skill set to do it. I hope he has the mindset to do it. He certainly has the incentive, and it's all in the form of dollars. All right, we've got and wins, I would hope, would come with that too, but it's a pay year for him. We have got coming up Julian Gerard. Bruce Hooley, Gerard Cherry follows this show. And we want to thank Jim Corbett of USA Today for joining us and giving his insights. He has been a long-time resident of Ohio. I say that loosely, but he's a guy who actually lives down by New York City, but USA Today has him camped out here. And he gave his insights on the Browns. And appreciate all the work that our great producers Jason Gibbs and Matt Fontana did for us. For Nathan Zagura, I am Vic Carucci. We will join you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.